again. Just a reminder that VBS starts a week from tomorrow, 6 to 8:15. And six o'clock to 8:15, Monday through Friday, the July 20th through the 24th. What I have here in front of me are some registration forms. If you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, nephews, and neighbors and friends, and you think they might want to come, please pick up one of these forms up front or come see me and so we can get them pre-registered. That helps to speed up the time. The other thing, VBS, their mission project is Pure Love, Pure Water. I gave out jars last week. I'm getting it back now. Isn't that a nice sound? All the money goes to Pure Love, Pure Water, which buys water filters for the missionaries and also wells. So you can turn them in now or you can wait to the end of July, whatever works for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Melinda. Uh-huh. Got a few more announcements before we get started. We've got the church business meeting in two Sundays. That's July 26th, the last Sunday of the month. Be here in the sanctuary after the service is over. We also have, I'll show this, Mariniou Ministries are coming up. If I can get it, hold up. You'll find them at the back of the table and on the table outside this door on your left and this side over here. There are a lot of times we just call them committees instead of ministries, but that's what they are. If you look through there, you find one you want to help with. Check that off. If you got one that we don't have and you'd like to get it started, write that on there. And remember on the very back to sign your name. If you don't sign your name, they're not going to know who put that in. And we also have a hold on, advisory committee meeting two Tuesdays from this Tuesday. Let me see. It's got the date on here somewhere for those on the advisory committee. But it's in here. It's July 29th, last Tuesday of the month. And it'll be up here in the church library. The next WMU meeting is on August 3rd at Missy and John Davis's house. The next Brotherhood breakfast will be Saturday, August 8th. It'll be here in the fellowship hall. And the next deacons meeting, for those who are serving as deacons, will be August 4th, first Tuesday of the month of August. And next month is the month of August. That month, we'll be electing new deacons to be coming on. Some will be coming off. We'll have some more coming on. We'll have a business meeting for that. I don't have the exact date for that, but we will get that to you as soon as we can. And now, John's going to leave us in a word of prayer.
As our praise team comes forward, I would invite everyone to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you because you first loved us. And we thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be here today. Lord, we could be anywhere right now doing anything, but we've chosen to be here today, gathered with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you, to lift up your name, to give you honor and glory, because you are worthy of all of our praise. And we thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for blessing us, and we just want to give you all our praise today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join with me? Stand together. Oh. Yes, stand together and let's sing Great Things. Lift it up.
Come, let us worship the King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great.
Buenos dias. Am I on? Good. Praise the Lord. Today is a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. For God is good.
All the time. God is good.
It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's a great day. We're alive, and our names are written in the book of life. Amen. I don't know if you are discouraged today, but of course I'm going to read Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord is good. He's with us. He's with us. If you have a prayer request this morning, or if you are here for the first time or second time, write in your bulletin. There's a care card. We'd love to hear from you, and we can be praying for you. I know that we have folks that are in our heart this morning, and we want to lift them up to the Lord. So if you just voice the name, please. Oh, Father, we come to you. Father, we give you all honor and glory, O Lord. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being in us. Father, you are our strength. And Father, you hear our cry. And Father, we want to lift up these folks to you. Some are family members, dear friends, neighbors. And Father, we just want to call upon you, O Lord, Father, to do a miracle. Father, there's nothing impossible for you, said the angel. For I tell you, there is nothing impossible for God. And so this morning, Father, your church comes together to call upon the Lord, to praise you, to exalt you, and to, O Lord, to give you all honor and all glory. Father, there's nothing, Father, that you cannot do. Father, you even brought Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of being dead. Father, you healed the blind. Oh, Father, you did so many miracles through Jesus. And Father, we are here today to praise you, to exalt you. And Father, we want to lift them up to you right now. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's continue to sing, Lord, reign in me.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, only is that you reign in me again. Darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again?
Amen. Amen. You know, I spent most of my ministry conducting hymns. There was a time, and one of the older hymn books, I could pretty much tell you the name of the hymn by the number. But of course, we love these great new songs. We love to sing them. But this one has meant a lot to me personally. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let's sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good all the time. All the time. God is good. He is good indeed. We are excited to be in the house of the Lord today and to continue our series on time. Time. Everybody gets 24 hours. Everyone does. The Lord gives it to us. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and we're going to go to, just going to read two verses. And once we find it, I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's word. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, 1 and 2. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had prepared for the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and glory. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you speak to us. We ask that you minister to us. And Father, thank you for your word, for it is alive. And because you are alive, we are alive as well. We thank you, Lord, for this, for the time that you give us. Father, understand that our lives are in your hands. It's not short or long, but rather in your hands. And Father, help us to understand, to redeem the time that you've given us. Father, not to waste it, but to use it for your honor and your glory, O Lord. We ask that you speak to us now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the vision of our church is to be a family of faith that glorifies God. That's where we're trying to go, and that's what we're trying to be, trying to become this family of faith. Of course, we trusted Christ as our personal Savior, and we're here to glorify the Lord. We're not here to glorify ourselves, but rather we're here to glorify God. That's what we're here to do. We're here to glorify His name. A few years ago, we were visiting my mom in New Orleans, and we were there, and all of a sudden, there was a lot of commotion, especially at night. Then we realized that there were filming a movie right next to my mom's house. Can you imagine that? And so, you know, we had the great blessing to meet The Rock Johnson. Can you imagine that? About 3 o'clock in the morning. And there were other famous folks that we know, but one of the things that they kept talking about as they were recording and filming, they kept saying, scene two, take two, take two. And they would do this over and over and over again. And so it was a very special time. Of course, we were so excited, the kids were excited, that they brought the paper, but they didn't bring the pen so they can get the signature. But anyway, we found one, and I believe we still have his signature somewhere, The Rock Johnson. So it was a special time. Of course, when we look at the text that we read, and also the book, the Second Chronicles, I don't know if you ever read Second Chronicles or not, but Second Chronicles, it means, this is exactly what it means. It means the events or happenings of the day. Of course, before there were two books, there was just one book. And in the Old Testament, the Greek of the Old Testament is called the Septuagint. And so that's, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but once it was translated into the Greek language, then the two books begin to appear. The Chronicles meant that they were events that were happening of the day. The author, he said, most people suggest that it was Ezra the priest. The theme, Solomon was building God's temple in Jerusalem for the purpose of centralizing and unifying the nation to praise the Lord. That's what they did. It was a temple that people would come and they would worship the Lord, like we have. We have centralized worship. We come, we work, and we live, and we come here on Sunday and Wednesday, and we see each other. We worship the Lord together. There was going to be a temple. Of course, there were three temples that were built, and so this is the very first temple. It was in the heart of David to build a temple, but God did not allow him to do it. You know, sometimes we want to do things for God, but God says no. Sometimes we want to do things for the Lord, and the Lord said, that's not my will. So it wasn't the will of God for David to build the temple. God said, you are a man of war. You cannot build my temple, but your son is going to build that temple. And so we learn here, of course, the site of where this first temple was built. It says, verse 1, it said, now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had prepared for the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And so the site was real, real interesting. Of course, David had been there, Mount Moriah, and so this was a place where David had sacrificed, who had built an altar, and Ornan wanted to sell the property to him. And David said, no. He said, I'm gonna buy it from you. If you cannot give it to me, but I'm gonna buy it. You know, sometimes we take things that people give us for free, and then it costs us more later on. So David, just like Abraham, did the same thing. Abraham did the same thing when his wife passed away. They wanted to give him a plot of land, and he said, no. I want to buy it. Sometimes, you know, just got to be straight. You got to be straightforward. And so here it is. And he said, no, I want to buy it. And that's exactly what he did. He bought that piece of land. And then later, of course, the temple was going to be built right in the same location. It is amazing. Sometimes the things what you and I are going through right now, it makes no sense. Sometimes, you know, we go through situations in life and said, what is happening, Lord? What is happening? And listen, it may be that God is just working in your life right now for a future event. And sometimes that happens in our lives. And so this is exactly what is happening. I mean, David would have never thought that he was going to be built, that his son is going to be building this temple. But this site is also familiar to us in Genesis 22. This is the place when God told Abraham to take Isaac to sacrifice him. Can you imagine that? And this is where this temple is going to be built. It's going to be built. So you got two things that have happened in the past, and this is exactly where they are going to build this temple. By the way, that's one of the greatest and most profound things about what Abraham said, when he took his son with him and obeyed God and was going to sacrifice him. That's what he was going to do. And I love what he said before he left. He said, the boy and I shall return. I love that. Because, listen, he knew God was going to do something up there. God was going to do something up there. And I love how he told his servants, don't you worry about it. The boy and I shall return. That's faith. That's why we call him the father of faith. You know, he was a man of faith. And so the site, of course, where it was going to be built, and of course it tells us about the month as well. It says right there in verse 1 and 2, it says, now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father at the place where David had prepared the threshing floor Ornan, the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of the reign. Of course, in the Hebrew calendar is different than our calendar. So what he was talking about, the second month, is the month of Liyar. Also, it's also called Zib. When you translate that into the English language, it means it is radiant, it is blossom. And of course, this was between the month of April and May. This is when this temple is going to be built by Solomon. So Solomon, interestingly, and this is where the Lord just kind of called me and spoke to me and kind of pulled me in, and he said, did you notice this? Solomon did not build the temple until the fourth year. Now, you had everything. His dad had prepared everything for him. He had all the resources, and yet he builds and starts building on the fourth year of his reign. That kind of touched my heart. He said, David had everything in place and ready, but Solomon still wait. You know, sometimes it's good to wait. Sometimes you just have to wait. Sometimes God says, wait. Sometimes, you know, God may respond to us and say, yes, go ahead and do it. Sometimes God will say, no, I don't want you to do it. And sometimes God says, wait. Well, God told Solomon he had to wait. How many of you are patient? I'm in the wrong church. Nobody raise their hand. My word. Anybody? Let me try it again. Anybody patient in here? Well, praise the Lord. Thank God. All right. Well, probably most of us, immediately after the passing of David, we would have started building. First Baptist would have started building the next day. Well, he's going. Let's go. Let's get it done here. But did you see that Solomon waited 4 years? How many of you will wait 4 years if God said wait? 4 years. You see, I've learned that, listen, what you and I cannot do in 10 years, God can do it in a month. He can put everything together. He tells them to wait 4 years. That kind of caught my attention. So what do we learn from Solomon's patience? What do we learn from it? Well, the first thing we learn that when we build, take time to plan. If we're going to build something, especially if we're going to build something for God, we have to take time to plan. We have to plan what God wants us to do. We have to plan. You know, I know this is not Christmas time, but I'll never forget when we got a bicycle for Christmas for our boys. Of course, I looked at the picture, and I got everything out, and without looking at anything, of course, at the end of the story, I had bolts, extra screws, and the bike would not stand. No planning. Just go. Well, Luke 14:28 tells us, for which of you intending to build a tower, won't you first sit down first and figure out how much it will cost? Then you will see whether you have enough money to finish it. We are entrusted by God, by His Word, that we need time to plan. Solomon took the time to plan. You need to plan. You need to plan. This is the Lord's work. We have to plan. Sit down, and we need to plan. Not only did he plan, but he also did not rush. He did not rush. He didn't say, well, see, the work of God goes slow. I mean, I wish that we had 100 people here, and maybe we had 2 or 3 services here. But that's not the way God works. You see, sometimes God wants to work in our lives. Listen, sometimes God is more interested in working in my heart than in what he's going to do. Sometimes, listen, It took all that time for Moses to be in the wilderness to talk to him so he can do what he was going to do in Egypt. And sometimes the hardest problem, listen, the hardest problem is not what we're going to do. Sometimes the biggest obstacle is ourselves. Because we just want to hurry up and wait. We live in a microwave world. In 30 seconds, you can have your coffee hot. 30 seconds. But that's not the ways of God. I wish it was. So, there is Solomon. And he doesn't start quickly. He plans. He's not in a rush. Philippians 4:7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when we are going to build something, we need to plan. We need to go slow, not rush, and we have to gather our resources. What resources do we have for the work of God? Of course, we have God with us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. God is with us. He's with you. Never forget this. Don't forget on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever. If you're in school, you're in college, if you're at work, never forget that you don't go to work by yourself. God is with you. He promised it. He's with you. And when you're in the midst, remember Isaiah 41:10. For the Lord says, I will help you. So when you're in the midst of trouble and tribulation, say, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. So gather your resources. Solomon gathered his resources. In 1:14, it says, starting in 13, so Solomon came to Jerusalem from the high place that was in Gibeon, from before the tabernacle of meeting, and reigned over Israel. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities in the king of Jerusalem. He gathered his resources. Gather your resources. If you're going to do something for God, gather your resources. But you first got to start. If you're a believer, you got to start saying, God is with me. He's with me. He's in me. And God has this. And so he gathered his resources. So what adjustments do we need to make? What adjustments do we need to make in our lives? Why did he wait 4 years to get going? Well, the first thing, we need to take time to ask God for wisdom. Wisdom and intelligence is not the same. Being a brain is not the same. God's wisdom is different. You could be very smart, you can be intellectual, and you have little wisdom. James 1:5-6 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. See, in order for us to have wisdom, we need to ask God. God, give me wisdom. James encourages us to ask God. And then look what God does. He said, who gives to all, liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. So if you ask God, if I ask God for wisdom, God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Just like our children ask for, you know, Dad, can I have $5 so I can get a meal at McDonald's? I would say New Way instead of McDonald's. Amen. That's right. And God said, just ask me. You want wisdom? You want to be wise? You don't have to go to Harvard. You don't have to go to an Ivy League school. You don't have to go to Stanford. If you want wisdom, God says, just ask me, and I will give you wisdom. But you have to ask the Lord. If you want wisdom, you can just ask God. That's what James says. And I love 2 Chronicles 1:7-12. What would you do and what would you say if God asked you this question? What do you want? You know, that's the question in 2 Chronicles 1:4 that God asked Solomon. What will you ask? Will you say, oh God, anything? How about a Ford 350, Lord? With a coming motor. Anything. Can you imagine God asking a human, Solomon, what do you want? It's open, whatever you want. You want $1 million? $3 million? $4 million? $5 million? What do you want? You want to pay off your house? You want a great job? Great retirement? What do you want? And do you know what Solomon asked for? Wisdom. I'm asking for wisdom. I don't know about you, but I want wisdom. Anything. If he was a lady, maybe he said, I want a Gucci purse. I want a fancy closet with an elevator in it. None of the above. All I want, says Solomon, I want. What will you ask God? What will you answer God if he asks you, what do you want? What will you ask? Second, we need to take time to look back, to come to terms with ourselves. We all have a past. We all have days and events in our lives that we wish we forget, that we wish we can erase. Can you imagine somebody come to Solomon and say, Solomon, who was your mom? Didn't she have another husband? Didn't David kill him? Sometimes we have to carry those things. We carry those things. Before he built anything, he wanted to come to terms with himself. He waited 4 years. Sometimes we are loaded with things and we jump into new things. We already burned out, but we jump into new things. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You already burned out. You're exhausted. You're carrying so many things, so many emotional things, and then you launch to a new ministry, to a new thing, a new job. Solomon was already practicing wisdom. He said, I got to deal with these things. Bruton Parker College. Never forget it. not just the education aspect. But one day I had to come to terms with God. You all know that I grew up without a father. Father was a millionaire, and I grew up in a village with no electricity and no running and no water. See, God wanted to talk to me. And he wanted me to put that behind, so I can move forward. I cry like a baby. Say, why, God? Why have you allowed me to live the way that I live? When on the other side there was a millionaire. Why? Solomon had to come to terms with himself. We all do. I wish there's no one perfect here. We all have issues that we have to deal with. And I believe that God wants us to heal. He heals. Sometimes there are things that happen or things that we said. Sometimes we don't forgive and we don't forget either. But God does want us to heal. He wants us to confront and deal with those issues that are with us, we are carrying. But I also believe that he took the time to grieve. Here's Dad, David. A man after God's own heart. The greatest king Israel had ever known. But to Solomon, that's my dad. He's not here anymore. He's gone. Sometimes before we launch to something new, sometimes in the wisdom of God, God wants us to look at ourselves, to talk to him, and God wants to restore us for a future event. The people that we love, they come and they impact our lives forever. About 2 years ago, taking a shower. See, when people pass, we don't forget them. They stay with us. I was taking a shower, and all of a sudden, there was a kind of a image of my grandmother who practically raised me. Raised like 15 of us. In the conditions that I mentioned to you before, he raised all of us. There's not a thief in that family. She's just dear to us. No car, poverty. And I was taking a shower, and all of a sudden, it hit me. And I said, I miss you, Grandma. And I cried. That's good for the soul. It's good for. That's what Solomon didn't just start quickly. I believe he took time for himself. I believe he took time and said, I need some me time to deal with this thing. Take time to meditate and gather your thoughts. He was now the king of Israel, the people of God. He had time to meditate, gather his thoughts. We need to take time to meditate and gather our thoughts where we are. We need to meditate how blessed we are. We are a blessed country. And we are a blessed people because God is our God. Never forget, God is with us. We do not have to do things the way it was done in the past. God has given us a new life. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed. And he said, I make everything else new. We don't have to do some of the things that our ancestors did or other believers have done, for that matter. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord, and we got to move forward in what God has for us. We are on God's time, not on our time. So take time. Take time to plan, to gather your resources. Take time to grieve. Take time to meditate. In who you are in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and glory. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that you always have and want the best for your children. You always want the best for me. And for anyone who follows you, you always want the best. And the best may not be material. The best may be emotional and spiritual. Oh Lord, to be, oh Lord, be the honor and glory, oh God. Now, if there's anyone here today that you need to give your life to Christ, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Glad in it. Maybe you're thinking about giving your life to Christ, and today is the day of salvation. As the praise team leads us, what's in your heart this morning?
Stand together. We sing 541. Take my life and let it be consecrated.
Move at the end, pause, stop,
You may be seated.